welcome to the Live Courageously podcast show. I'm your host, John Duffy, and courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear. There's something contagious about someone who is courageous. Today's show is with a very courageous friend, Carlos Cicada, and Carlos is a passionate, grateful, loving husband, father, and a friend who wants to create a massive impact on this planet during and beyond his lifetime by helping others in need. His entrepreneurial journey started at the age of 7 when he sold bread from the back of his bicycle in the dangerous areas of Brazil to help his widowed mother. Carlos is a beacon of transformation and inspiration. For over 2 decades, he has empowered millions globally. He's an international best-selling author, top business consultant, motivational speaker, podcast host, wealth coach, and business acceleration strategist. He's assisted thousands of CEOs, executives, authors, coaches, consultants, and speakers. He's also the author of Work Like an Immigrant, available on Amazon, and Tony Robbins, nicknamed Carlos the Latino Tony Robbins, recognizing him as one of the world's top motivational trainers and educators of our time. So with that, let me just say welcome to the stage and greetings, brother Carlos. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing even better now, my brother Joe, my apostle avenger, brother. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. It's good to have you on my show. Man, you know, I always start my show out with 2 questions, so I might as well give them to you too. The first one is, how did we first meet? That's the first question.
Man, I bet you we met, John, at one of these events out there in San Diego or LA. You and I, you know, we are speaking everywhere globally for so long, and you and I have a lot of amazing friends. So if I recall correctly, we probably met at one of the Oscars events out of the Los Angeles area. If it wasn't one of those events, it wasn't one of those events in San Diego. It had you're to right. be in one of the two areas.
I think you're right. I think it might have been a city gala. And then, you know, we have so many friends in common. And I remember one time after we had met, I was going to, you know, talking about how we crossed paths. I was going through the airport to go somewhere and you ran into me coming from somewhere, right? And you know, it's like you were on your journey. I was going on mine and we got a chance to talk for a few minutes. But it's always been great. I've always wanted to have you on the show. So thank you, man, for coming on, because you have an incredible journey and I want you to get into all that. My next question, though, before we get into your background, your journey, and all the stuff you do today, is what does Live Courageously mean to you?
I mean, what a great question, John. First of all, thank you again, brother, for being here. It's an honor being here serving your audience. Live Courageously is just being like doing what you love, man, and really go all in. And just go all in, believe in yourself a little bit more than what you did the day before. Knowing that it doesn't matter. I often have a saying, it's not where we come from, whether we went to school, our connections, you know, or the color of our skin. It's our attitude that's going to make us win. And when you just have an attitude of gratitude and you just go all in and you become better every single day and you don't compare yourself to others. I have a saying, you rather compare yourself to others or have others compare themselves to you. And when you live that way and you focus on becoming better and helping people, leaving them in a better place than what you found them. I learned that from my grandparents. You know, I was raised by women, my mom and my grandma. I will get into stories here on how difficult it was growing up on the streets and seeing them being beaten and not able to do nothing. But their courage, their strength to keep it going, even though we know that we have only rice for 90 days at a time. We know that we were in poverty. We were told that we're not going to go nowhere, that we are going to die in the hood, that we didn't belong in this side of town. And inside my head, I was like, watch me, devil. You don't want to bet against me. You don't know how hungry I am. That's what it feels and it means, living a courageous life.
Well, I think that's a great way to put it, man. And I think, you know, like you said, the passion, you know, when I saw you speak the first time, just the passion that you brought to the stage. Just like, I'm telling you, if nobody has seen you in person, they got to see you, because the energy is explosive, man. I'm going to throw up a quick picture because I think this just kind of captures who you are. You know, it's the happy Hulk, man. Just that energy, bro. You just bring it, man.
Praise the Lord, brother. It's not even me, man. It's God, man. He just comes through your brother here and tell me what you say at those times. And, you know, it's a little hurt growing up. You know, John, I often talk about this. You know, it's like all the hate, all the disgrace, all the chaos and the evil things that I seen growing up. Instead of me going an eye for an eye and hurt the people that hurt my family and my friends, I decided to be the look at the other way and just focus on transforming that into a force of good, a force of God, a force of, like, you know, just resilience and going for it and helping others go for it, even though you felt hopelessness, you felt like betrayed, you felt hurt, but like trying to somehow flip that, you know, transform that negative into a positive. And yeah, my brother.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, because for people, you know, who don't know the journey you made. I mean, I grew up in the South Bronx, was a very poor neighborhood. I dropped out of high school. I grew up in poverty. So I really identify with your story. But, you know, you grew up in, you know, a poor area of Brazil. For people who've never been there, I have not been to Brazil. Just the what that story was. And then, you know, how you turned it around. You did whatever it took to survive. And then you went beyond surviving to striving and then thriving. And so tell us a little about that journey, man.
No, man, it's a you know, I have to talk about my stories. It's like, whether you guys like the guy or not, Quentin Tarantino, you know, like, it's like a chaos, you know. Imagine, you know, once upon a time, a beautiful woman walked in front of a church and a priest saw her and fell in love with her.
Wow.
That was my father. He was about to become a priest. It was like the perfect Romeo and Juliet story. You know, have you guys often, you know, you've been through a great journey, everything is going amazing, and then a 2001, a 2008, you know, economy crashes, a COVID happens, you know, the president changed, and you're like, you know, whatever it is. And now you're like freaking out, you worry, you stress, it feels like everything is falling apart. That's what happened there. They married immediately. They had me as a baby. I was 3 months old. My father was on a way to the Capitol with some of his friends, and the car exploded, head-on collision with the grass truck.
Wow. He
was so young, in his 20s. The guy was a saint, brother. He was helping so many people. He was doing 2 colleges, John. He was married. He had a business. He was working as a manager, as a banker. The guy was just, I didn't even know how he did all that. And he still found time, John, at the end of the day. You know, he was tired. And you know what he would do, bro? He would go on with my grandma to trash sites, to dumpsters, not to look for food, but to look for kids and babies. Because people, they will leave their kids and babies in the dumpsters because they know there'll be people like my father that would drive by and they would bring them to churches and to shelters. You know, I often tell people it's not a bad day, John. It's a God-giving, building character day. You know, my mom, she endured a lot of chaos. If that wasn't enough, losing my dad, you know, my stepfather was murdered.
Wow.
That's why I often tell people, I could have went out and tried to hurt the people that killed him. But, you know, God made sure that happened. Eventually, they got caught, and then they were tortured and murdered in jail. But as we all know, an eye for an eye only makes the entire world blind. And all that anger and hate, you know, I transformed into a force of good, John. I was abused. I was, you know, tortured mentally and physically on the streets. I was bullied. I had to sell bread because I want to help my mom. I want to leave the hood. At age 7, she used to sell all kinds of shit. Clothing, food. I say, mom, make some of that specialty bread, the little cinnamon rolls with coconut and buttery on the top. And we're going to fill it up a little clear basket. I'm going to tie it to the back of my bicycle. I'm going to go to the bus stop early in the morning before I go to school, where everybody's going to be there getting ready to go on their bus to go to work. Because we live in a small city, and everybody in the smaller cities, they go early in the morning downtown to the main bus stop to get 1 or 2 buses to go to work. It's the main major cities, the major capital. And I knew they're going to all be there. Sometimes they're in a hurry. They haven't had breakfast. So I'm like, I'm going to put myself where they're going to be and sell this good looking bread. And I'm going to do something crazy, like learn how to whistle, bread, bread, and stand out. Even though I was freaking out at the first time, I was very uncomfortable at doing it first. Who here hates selling it? It's, you know, I often tell people sales and marketing is your twin tickets of freedom. You know, you learn that, you master, feel in love being rejected, go for the no. And I made a promise, John. And as I often tell people, never plan on making a promise you don't feel on keeping. And I told my mom, I told my friends on the streets, you know, one day I'm going to leave the hood. I'm going to leave the barrios. I want to mentor athletes, celebrities, CEOs, people with heavy following, and remind them that's more to life than money, fame, and acquiring things. People are going to talk about those things. They're going to talk about how we made others feel, what we done and when it was between us and God that we didn't put on that phone, that we were out there, you know, helping people in the streets, maybe building a house, a hospital, building something, and not having to put our names on it. No, I wanted the accolades for it. And, you know what I mean? And those are the things that I am big, John. I want to be one of the guys that was responsible for helping eradicate hunger, sex trafficking, organ trafficking. I want to be one of those. I want to be remembered like Nelson Mandela, like, you know, like one of those guys, man. It's just something that I strive every day to put myself out of business. And I constantly challenge myself. How can I help more people? How can I do more? And how can I do things without having to put it on social? Like, you know, I don't want to put the phone in somebody's face giving them money. I often go on the streets and I look for women selling things on parking lots with their kids. And I ask them, how much you made? I bring my daughter with me since she was little. So my daughter's all about giving, right? That spirit of my father is in me. We're always out there looking for kids.
That's a picture of you with your daughter at a secret
age. Yeah, man. I think that's why that age 5, 6. Yeah, she was speaking a secret knock. And you got legends like Sharon Lecter and Liz Brown on the front row to watching her speak. My good friends, they love her. And, you know, and she's in that environment. And that's, I know it's a long answer, John, but that's just a little bit about my background and the mission and the end result.
I'm going to play a little video from you in a minute. But when did you get to the U.S. from, what age were you when you got to the U.S. from?
Age 18, man.
18. So you went at 18, and then, like you said, you went on this mission, and you went on this mission to both do all the things that you have done, all that speaking and motivating and coaching and training and being an author. And yet the bottom line of it, what I hear and what I read and what I see in you is that, more importantly, all that is that spirit of service, that spirit of giving back, that spirit of helping others who have less or in places, you know, like to eradicate hunger, sex trafficking, all those things. That's kind of your mission and purpose in life. Am I right?
You're on point, my brother. Yes, sir.
Well, let me show this quick video from you. It's like a 2-minute video that you put together just so people get a little bit of your background, and then we'll keep going with this. I know we're going to be crunched for time today, but you're going to come back another time and we're going to go deeper and deeper. But here, let me do this one, man. Let me just put you up on, I'm going to share the screen, and here we go. And no, this is the one. And
I had to sell Brad to help the black widow. That's what they call my mother. Brazil used to joke, we have the same, and the loss, so he, you keep showing. Meaning, it's better to laugh instead of crying. The reason why they call my mother the black widow, because my father died in a car explosion. That wasn't me. My stepdaughter was married. So tell me about your problems. Is there something? Like you said, I was a little kid. I don't want to live anymore. But that's the problem. We all have a story. And when you remain so clear from your heart, you show up to God. You don't believe as a world for oneself. They transcend themselves. See, from that place we can lose, from that place that's your ego, that place has no fortune, and that place is nothing but us as a family, as a freaking unit.
You cannot lose when it's personal. I'm here to add more value to you than anybody else on this stage. I wanted to walk out of here with something and go do something about it. You must to separate yourself from the pack. You must to become indispensable. You must to become incomparable. You must to become indestructible.
Look at the person in the white and say, it's my time.
My time!
Don't wanna hear it again. It's my time! It's possible!
It's possible!
I am hungry!
And always remember, it doesn't matter how hard it is or how hard it gets, I want you to know that the days that break you are the days that make you, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now.
Oh man, that is just too great, man. I just love that one. And all this stuff, man, your energy, but even, you know, the other thing, it's like you're this giant kid in this, a small kid in this giant body, and you just got, you bring all of it, man. So, hey, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, John, man. You know, it's weird watching my videos. My wife doesn't like watching it. She's like, I go too deep sometimes. I say, it's not me, man. It's God coming through me saying some of this stuff.
Well, you know, you've done a lot, and you capture some of it. I like I said, we're scrambling to keep so much to cover in so little time. But I also, you know, you wrote about some of it in this book, Work Like an Immigrant.
Yes, man.
And that's available to people on Amazon. They can go pick up a copy. I recommend they get a copy of it. And it's a great title because, you know, you came when you're 18, you're saying, and that you put in the work. You know, and that's the thing I think all of us have to learn. You got to put in the work. You got to work hard for your dreams. You got to work hard for your purpose in life. If you don't, you won't achieve it. No one's going to give it to you. You got to put in the work. And the title sums it up. You come and you work hard like an immigrant and you made it happen. So tell us that story, man. Tell us the story about writing the book and what message you're trying to bring across.
Man, this book, guys, is a lot about, it's about a lot of mindset. It's about leadership. It's about, you know, it's like a Bible. You open up and any page, there'll be powerful stories. It'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you feel. It'll shake some of those emotions inside of us. And, you know, because I wanted to leave something that's powerful. I don't want to just write a book, you know, as combining 30 plus years on the street since I was a kid to making in America and putting it out there in life lessons. In telling stories, in giving strategies and frameworks that somebody can pick and open up at any page, you know, even myself when I feel down, you know, I'm like, all right, you got to follow your own advice. I just open and I just look at one of the life lessons, like, let's say life lessons 72, you never want what you already have. When you are down and out, many people like to remind themselves, well, at least I have my health. But it's not typically what you have that drives you. It's what you don't have. When you are sick, for example, health becomes your number one priority. When you are unemployed and broke, all you wanted to do is to get a job and earn some money. When you are hungry, food takes precedence. And if you are hungry enough, you might even risk your health and safety to get food. You know, that's just like, you know, like I say, man, you open this book at any page and you know, it's I listen to my own advice sometimes. We have to, which is often, you know, something that we don't do. And once sometimes, you know, you become an influencer, you achieve things in life and you forget. You can never forget what you come from. And that's why when you saw me speaking at one of the Oscars event and many other events, I bring a bicycle to the stage and I often try to make it so disruptive. And, you know, I buy a pink bicycle from Walmart, Hello Kitty, and I am 6'5", 300 pounds. And I tied the bread to the bicycle because I sold bread on the streets to help my mom and my loved ones. And I love to take the bread and throw at celebrities and influencers. So it's kind of a little reminder in a fun, entertaining way that we can never, ever forget where we come from. And that's what I try to have in that book. Long after I am dead, people will be able to use it at any era, at any time, you know, and be able to use and apply, whether you are a father, a leader, a mother. You are in sales, you are an entrepreneur, you wanted to start a business, you're thinking about quitting on your own life, you know, and this book will serve you. It's a lot of inspiring things there. I invest a lot of money in educating myself in school and going to doing courses and spend millions of dollars in these last 20 years. And I put a lot of my wisdom in this book. I want it to be something that I can leave the same way how we love some of the early books from like Viktor Frankl, who was in Auschwitz, Men Searching for Meaning, you know.
Some excellent book.
Man. So I want to work like an immigrant to be, and it is one of those. And that's why I wrote. I didn't want to put just anything out there, you know. And, and then we donate 100% of the proceeds to help people in the streets. You guys know me. I've been following for a while. I'm always focused on helping people, collaborating any way I can. and in helping more people on my podcast, CarlosInspireShow.com. Every Monday at 7:17, we drop new episodes. A lot of incredible people. Friends of ours, John, that are no longer here, man, like Frank Shankwitz.
CarlosInspire.com. Go there. Check it out.
Yep. And then the podcast is CarlosInspireShow.com. And then, you know, one of our good friends, Frank Shankwitz, founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, been on the show. And a question I often ask is, you know, who do you want it to be in your eulogy? What do you want them to say in your eulogy when you no longer are here?
And that's my picture right now up there with you and Wishman.
What an incredible book and movie. Highly recommend you guys buying Frank's book and watching his movie, Wishman. Just incredible human being.
And Greg Reed, a friend and a Secret Knock, he's the one who produced that movie, yep. Wishman. Excellent movie. I got to see it at American Legion Post 43. And once again, a very inspiring story, just like your story. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, Carlos, like you talk about, don't ever forget where you came from. And, you know, I always say, you know, I was blessed to grow up in poverty in the ghetto. You know, people look at it sometimes and go, well, that's a bad thing. No, to me, it was a good thing because it made me who I am today and it gave me the strength to be who I am. So just like you, you grew up in that and you turned it into a blessing. You took what the worst you had and you somehow turned it around. And that's something, you know, when people forget sometimes when they wake up, if they got a problem, they don't remember all that they should be grateful for, that gratitude of what we are given. And that we got to give it back to others. So you do that in your life and you do it with your book and you do it with your speaking and everything you do. So, you know, I think that message is powerful for people to hear. So definitely check out that book.
Man, you know, I always say, John, I tell people, tattoo that on your soul, man. It's not a bad day. It's a God-giving, building character day, man. You know what I mean?
I love that. And I know a big part of you, too, is your faith. You talk about that when you talk. You know, you give credit to God for this. You give credit, you know. You're not trying to like say, look at me, I'm the greatest thing in the world, but it's more about, you know, what you've been given and we've all been given. But mate, you want to share a couple moments on that as well?
Yeah, man, that's my grandma in there, brother. You know, if I would try to skip church when I was young to go to the arcade, I would get the belt and the handles, you know? And you're like, you know, it's just like in faith, guys. Like I say, man, I'm a firm believer. You know, it doesn't matter even if you don't believe it. You know, that so much things out there that's unexplainable. And once you believe and you have faith, just like many of you guys listening to us over here, listening to John, I bet you guys do. And in faith, what is the definition of faith, right? We know it's there, even though we cannot see it. And when we apply those things in life, you know what I mean? You just got to believe in yourself and you got to know. Eventually, if I don't quit, you guys know the numbers. 90% of businesses and of your competitors, they will quit. You know, they will fail 5, 7, 10 years later. So if you keep it going, just an extra day, do an extra video, right? Like right now, you're just trying to be tactical. Think about, you know, like, what are you struggling with? Think about the problems your ideal clients, they seek and they don't have that you know how to solve that problem. Now think about becoming so good at communicating and speaking and talking about that, where now you're speaking to them from a subconscious level, not in a conscious level, because the conscious mind, a lot of you guys, for example, in case if you are stuck, you know, in growing your business, in making money, in selling, it doesn't matter what you sell, a book, a movie, music, courses, coaching, consulting, think about it. If you're not getting that many sales, you're probably getting stuck in the conscious mind because the conscious is saying yes, no, and maybe. It's that shield, fight or flight. So you have to understand about that pain. What is it keeping them up awake in the night? Now create your message so powerfully that gets a clear passage to the non-conscious part of the brain that can only say yes messages, which is often an unconscious pattern. So what do you guys think it would happen if you learned that skill set of communicating to the subconscious and getting that clear passage? They're going to be saying yes to you. They're going to be raising the hand. They're going to be hiring you to come in and now and speak at their stages, at their company, at their mastermind, at their retreat, at their podcasts. Because you and I know, John, it's the moment that you get on podcasts and stages and you speak in front of people, you build out instantly authority and credibility. Now, all you have to do is to walk the talk. Don't just talk about stuff. show it. Document the process, right? I tell people, guys, start doing a video a day, 1 minute, 2 minutes, put it on LinkedIn, put it on X. Those companies, they are competing against YouTube right now, and they're giving us free views and impressions for $0. So you don't have to advertise. You don't have to waste any money. All the advice that I'm giving here is practical advice. You start putting there. I literally have 100,000 plus views on LinkedIn. I've been posting one a day for this entire year, something that I wasn't doing in the last 10 years.
Wow.
You know, and I tell people, you're like, literally, this podcast, we can repurpose in 20 different 1 minute segments, put it on LinkedIn. That will probably give you a few thousand followers in the next couple of months just by doing 1 minute segments. And that's what I tell people, collaborate with other influencers. Now you take that video, you know, create 30, 50 videos out of it, put it on LinkedIn and on Twitter. Give it to them what they want. The same way how you give to your clients what they want, think about what does the titans, the social media companies, what do they want? They want more views. They want good content. They want people to stay and watch that content so they can place advertising in that content. So if we produce that, my friends, you get millions of views and impressions at no cost. That's going to bring you more business. You sell more books, more downloads for your podcast, more consulting clients, more stages, more, because I want to give you more. You deserve more. And, you know, so that's just a couple of the things that I really want you guys to think about. Be very tactical and become a master at communicating your message and leveraging that message by giving to those social giants what they want. And you guys will see a massive growth in your brand, in your company, because you got to build that personal brand, John. If you are working out there, guys, a 9-to-5, build it in case if something happens, you get laid off. It's very important that you build it now. Take an extra 15, 20 minutes in the morning, at night. Build a personal brand. You will thank me later.
Well, I'm thanking you now because you just gave me a tip to do it. So I'm going to be taking that and do it on LinkedIn. So we'll take this show and it'll be the first thing I do on LinkedIn, a 1 minute clip. So you just gave me a great tip. So thank you for that.
Try it out, John. Literally, put in a picture. Have you ever used the tool called Opus AI?
I use Opus. Yeah, Opus Clips is great. And you just take this and you cut it into, they cut it into you automatically, AI, into small clips.
Yeah.
And then you put it out. I've been doing a little bit on Instagram, but now I got to step it up. And now, especially with you on my guest and telling me to do it, now I got to do it. So
I'm telling you, man, Gary Vee was on me for years, man. And I regret I didn't listen to the guy 10 years ago. For 10 years, you know, I had like 10,000 followers on LinkedIn. This last year, bro, just by doing one video a day, one post a day, I added almost 6,000 new followers. A few million dollars to my company bottom line from consulting deals, speaking deals, and, you know, so much like impressions and views on a weekly that grew my podcast to a few thousand downloads per episode that I release now every Monday. So it's like everything. But the key again is the hard work, that consistency. Once a day, like my daughter says on the stage, you gotta do it even though you don't feel like it, right?
That's right.
And it's something so easy, right? You interview people, you interview yourself, whatever, and you clip it out. 10, 20, 30 clips. Like this entire show over here, 30 minutes, 31 minute segments. Now you have 30 days of content. Don't worry about what am I going to post. I tell people, just document the process. Like the good, the bad, the ugly. Grab that phone. Have you ever feel like shit and didn't want it to work? Have you ever felt hell? Have you ever felt like fat? Have you ever felt like whatever is the thing that you sell, right? Just look at that camera, say the word, have you ever? Let's just think about it. This is a teaching moment. I know you're crunch on time, but I like to, it's okay. They're going to wait in the next place because I was saying I have to leave soon, but we'll go next, a few more minutes here, guys. But
great.
When you say the word and you look, just think about it, right? Let's say right now you surfing social media, imagine. And you see me, you know, with my energy, my charisma, have you ever? Think about it. You cannot do anything else other than wait to say, what am I going to say after the word, have you ever? So now, just right there, pro tip, you already got 1 to 2 seconds, which now you got bonus. Now the social media, oh, wow, this person got already a few seconds. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to open up the algorithm. So now more people are going to see it. So now, whatever you say after, you can call the last 5 people that handle your money, that bought your book, that bought hire you as a coach, that hire you to speak, that handle your cash. I don't care what you sell. And now you're going to ask those people, where in the heart of hearts did you decided emotionally and financially to hire me, to buy my book, to have me come in and speak at your company, at your podcast, whatever, right? And now whenever you ask that question, you sit down and wait, because you wanted them to be so brutally honest, pinpoint the exact moment when you decided to hire me as your coach, as your consultant, as your speaker, to buy my book, to buy my course, whatever. Because now you're listening the exact moment. They're going to tell you maybe a story that you told. Maybe you are holding something in your hand. I don't care, whatever that is. You see, again, look what I just did. A pattern interrupt. I'm telling you a story. I'm being entertaining. You do the same exact thing. Have you ever? Pause. Now you got the 3 seconds. The mind doesn't know what you do, but you wait. And now you're going to plug it in. What did that client told you? When did they had you at hello? So now whether it was a story, okay, great. Take notes. You go and you tell that story. Now, you know, you do 3 posts telling stories, educating. After 3 storyline posts, now the 4th one, it would be a call to action. Now, because you already add value, you entertain, you taught them, now it's okay. Then now you give it a call to action and you do that and you wait. Another pro tip, 24 hours from time to time, don't post nothing for 24 hours on your stories. And even on LinkedIn, you wait 24 hours and then you repost and you post a video. Watch what happens with the algorithm. It will show you, it will give you guys so many views. But again, guys, this only works if you got to be consistent for a while, posting once a day. Hashtags, don't overuse it, and then use some of these strategies. Listen to this last 10 minutes over here that I just share with you guys some of these pro tips. And if you want even more, on my site, getonmorestages.com, that is a free gift in there. I call the 7-figure word patterns that connects, converts, and creates a buying frenzy. I recommend you guys take that free gift, read and master that PDF, and you start using some of that stuff in the videos and in the stories that you tell. And then you're going to watch how much better your conversions, your views, your impressions, it will just compound. And you do that, guys. Now is the time, end of the year. People are thinking about their goals. They are thinking about what have they accomplished this year. They're thinking about New Year's resolution. And you be that person that educates to dominate, that gives them so much value. The stuff that you charge people, you give it for free, they will come back. You know what I mean? That's just a few extra pro tips in there, John, to help out some of the followers and to give some extra value here, my brother.
Well, that's a ton of stuff, man. I know you're running tight, so I guess we should kind of come to the end on this. Otherwise, because it's easy to go for another 30 minutes, easy. But I know you got to come to an end, so thanks for that. We got that in. Anything you want to leave, you want to – I know we're in a crazy time right now. I don't know if you want to get into that right now. I know you did a funny video that I can play if you feel like it, but that's your choice. You let me know. Do you want me to do that, or
I think we are great, man. Well, as a final message, man, you know, like I know that a lot of people out there are happy and excited for what happened, and people are sad and happy for what happened in the politics, you know, but I tell people, you know, it's like back in the day in the 90s and the 80s when we voted for somebody, at the end of the day, we were hanging out together. And just be careful with the media. The things that they've been implanting lately is to divide us. And you guys know the drill. You know, don't stop talking to your friends and your loved ones because who you vote, if you change religion, if you change sex. We need to respect one another. We need, you know, I was in military, and I often talk about the word transcendence, and that means above oneself. Above all these things that are out there. And that's where we becoming one. That's because together, guys, we can do more. You know what I mean? Like we do in the military, you know, no casualties. We all coming back home. There's plenty of money to be made out there. We live in this creator's economy. Is nowadays is easier than ever to stand out. And that's why you've seen a lot of celebrities going broke. Nowadays, you got to even be careful which celebrities you associate with. All these scandals. You know, and just like, you know, let's go back in time before social media. And you know what I mean? If you block somebody, if you stop talking to somebody, really reflect. What is that coming from? You know what I mean? Really peel the layers off the onion and call that person, you know, call it a truce. Let's put it on the side, our religions, our political sides, and let's really come together. How can we help? Because kids are dying right now on the streets. Kids are being kidnapped. Organs are being trafficked. Children are being trafficked. This is the things that we can all come in together. We can help. We can do more by becoming more and put it aside, all this crazy and chaos that's out there. I want to leave it at that and never forget that life is all about the mission, never the commission. And as I always say, whenever you feel like giving up, pulling the trigger, ending your life, just pause and reflect. Reach out to John. Reach out to me on social media. We are out there. We reply back on our socials. And imagine a 6'5", 300-pound gorilla in front of you giving you a hug, independent of who you vote or where you go to church or what sex you choose, looking you in the eyes.
Or like this picture.
Or like this picture, you know, and reminding yourself that the days that breaks us. Hey, truly the day.
I love that way to sum up and end it, Carlos. And you're so right, man. You know, it's like we're always going to have different opinions, different politics, different religions, different everything. You grew up in Brazil. I grew up in the Bronx. Somebody else grew up in another country. We see the world different, but we have a lot in common. And to remind us, and just what you said, there's so many people out there that need help, whether, you know, it's sex trafficking, whether it's people homeless, whether it's people in poverty. There's so much we can do of service if we take the time to do that instead of fighting each other. So yes, I agree with that, brother. Once again, thank you for your time, and thank you for being on it. I know you got a rush. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it even a deeper, man. But thanks for all the tips. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, my brother.
I'll let you end. I'm going to end the show, but you can head out to what you're going to do. And we're going to reconnect again and hopefully in person very soon. So
thank you, brother. Much love, man. God bless you.
Much love and God bless to you as well, man. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, everybody, I hope today's show with Carlos Sicada inspired you to live with passion, to pursue your dreams, to learn the lessons that he shared. And what an incredible guy. I hope you check out his book on Amazon, Work Like an Immigrant. You can check that out. And if you haven't seen the previous Live Courageously 87 podcast with some of my amazing, courageous friends sharing their powerful stories of overcoming all odds and going on to live powerful lives and making a difference in the world, you can watch them on John Duffy's live-courageously.com, my website. You can watch it on YouTube channel, the Live Courageously YouTube channel. So, and you can watch it here on the thing, live-courageously.com. So join me every Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for another courageous guest. And I encourage you to choose to live courageously, to make your life a masterpiece. And God bless you until we meet next week.